Thank you for that. We are in our series, which we will soon, I think, get done with, about the disciples, the dynamics of a disciple. And then on Thursday night, we're going to go through our new discipleship book. Thank you for being here instead of staying home and watching the debate. The debate may be interesting, but if you have to watch the debate to decide who you're voting for, you don't get it. If you want to know how I really feel about that, you need to watch my Thursday video. How many of you seen, anybody see that today? I think I laid it out as clear as I could, and next week will be my last shot. And, you know, one thing I don't like, I hate when Christians say, well, you know, politics isn't everything, and then they go vote for someone who's anti-God. I understand it, and we may be crying in 2 weeks. And but let me just share this thought with you since you asked. And do you know socialism is bad?
Yep.
And that is in the belief system of the Democrats and the left. Okay, let me and here's what you need to think understand if you're a Christian. Socialism becomes communism. And listen to this, communism becomes atheism. You know the first person that they would go after if we become a socialist? They're going to come after us. There is a lady running for mayor in Portland. Lady is a very, very wide stretch of that word. She campaigns in a skirt with a picture of Joseph Stalin and Mao Zedong. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I might be off by the numbers, between them, they probably killed 40 million of their own people. And she's winning. Okay? It's just nuts. Now, my faith, I'm not suicidal, but I am seriously depressed. No, I'm not depressed. I'm not down. I'm an ambassador. But I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity to try to do the right thing. And so that's all I encourage us to do. But I'll tell you this. We should be mad as a hornet if this thing goes wrong and it's because Christians were ignorant or just didn't fulfill their duty. Vote in person just to make sure your duty works, okay? And just pray. And I know, and I don't do this. I've never done this, but I just feel like we're at a really important time in the history of our nation. But I guarantee you, and I guarantee I can say this sincerely, God is my witness, is as much as I harp on it, I pray for every single one of them. Gavin Newsom. He is out of control.
Yes, he is.
Did you hear that? I can't even go through the new restrictions. We heard the Thanksgiving ones. The new ones for Christmas are worse. They are stricter than any restrictions for anything else this state has. To spend Christmas with your family. And by the way, the numbers on COVID in California are the best they've been in 6 months. There's just no rhyme or reason. He does not intend to let up on this until he's forced to. Or there's a vaccine and he has to. And there's no reason for it. And so, again, we deserve that. We voted for him. I didn't vote for him, but we voted for him. And I'm just saying, let's just be responsible as Christians and then we leave it in God's hand. Amen? But let's not be irresponsible at Christians and say, oh, well, God, we left it in God's hand. That's ignorant. The Bible. Okay, we're going to talk about disciples. Disciples always go to the right. No, disciples. We started last week on these different requirements we're going through, and I hope you're getting this, and I hope you're encouraging it. Today's, as we finish up on longevity, I'm going to be real practical about it because I just want us to, I think it'll help us. Just the basics. Sometimes you need to get back to the basics, right? We make things so complicated sometimes we miss the fact, like, just do the basics. Follow. I used to, in the early days of our school, we did ACE. How many of you know what ACE is? It's really self-taught paces. And so I would spend an hour every day just helping to be a monitor. And the kids would put their flags up when they would have a question. And they would have a question sometimes. And by the way, I don't hide it. I know zero about English. I think I know the 8 parts of speech now because I've gotten better. And I've tried to work at it. Although if you hear me speak, I'm not there yet. But if you read my college notes, I got rid of all my college notes. I didn't type them up. I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. I'm done. But the kids would raise a hand about maybe a math thing and say, I don't know how to do this. And I didn't mind helping, but here's what I always said. Because they would teach you what you're supposed to do, and then they'd give you questions. And I said, Look at the instructions. Did you read the instructions? And like, yeah, I said, did you follow the instructions? Do it again. And almost every time they would look at it and they would do it. And I'm like, it works. And I'm like, you're a genius. I didn't do anything. Okay. So sometimes we need to get to the basics. Look at the fundamental things we're supposed to be doing. And then we'll be able to be a Christian who has longevity. By way of review, I said last week, just because you were a disciple at one time does not mean that you will always be a disciple. Nothing is guaranteed in this life. We must constantly work at it. And the same thing with the disciple. If we're not careful, we can lose the ground we've gained as a disciple or stop serving the Lord. Okay? Who in the Bible did that? For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He was a disciple. He followed Paul and served with Paul. And then next thing you know, you couldn't find him. Okay? Because he wasn't careful. He let the world influence him. And eventually that influence pushed out his discipleship and down he went. Then we talked about faithfulness. Faithfulness is a determination to do what I should, even in the midst of struggles or opposition. And I can even add on that emotions, because sometimes we just don't feel like doing it. Okay? You ever hear someone say, I'm not feeling it? I hear you. I'm there. But just because we're not feeling it doesn't mean we're not supposed to do it. We do it in spite of the fact that we're not feeling it. And then I said the growth of the early Christian church, it was due in part to the willingness of the new converts to continue in the faith. And we saw the verses there in Acts chapter 2. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's the beginning. And they continued steadfastly. That was from then on. They stuck with it. They were faithful. They hung in there. They were there 5 years from when they started. They were there 10 years from when they started, that type of thing. And so that's very important. Last week, I started talking about several keys to being faithful, dependable, and continuing, the things that help us to do that. Of course, we looked at baptism, because if we don't get baptized, that's the first step. We won't take others. We talked about the encouragement church gives us to continue to be faithful and go forward. We looked at scripture. Now, these other ones I may have mentioned, but I'll just make a couple comments, and then we'll move on to the last part. Commitment. The next one is commitment. Acts 11:23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with purpose of heart that these believers, that they would what? Cleave unto the Lord. Cleave means I'm holding on. I'm not letting go. I'm in for the duration. I'm not moving from where I'm at. I'm here. I'm serving the Lord. And he admonished them to do that. That takes commitment. You will never be faithful until you decide and commit to being faithful. You know, someone says, what do you need to make a marriage work? Love or commitment? What's more important? And everybody would say love, typically. I think it's commitment. Everybody gets married because they love each other, but then how come down the line 50 or 60% of them get divorced? Because there are going to come times when that love is tested, and if you're not committed, You won't stick it out. This little problem that you should have got through now becomes, in your mind, insurmountable. And so you bolt from the relay. And the same is true of everything. Okay? I love Jesus. Okay, what happens when you're going through tough times in your life or you're struggling? You need a commitment to keep the love going. And so it's very important. You know, most Christians are like single guys who have no intention of getting married. They just want to flirt. You know, it's cute to flirt. But they're not into commitment. By the way, that's why, girls, you don't go around with guys that flirt. Okay? Date and court the right way, those guys will be weeded out. That's like a spiritual weed whacker. They're done. But most people treat God like that. And then, you know, hey, they don't feel like it, they don't feel like it. So commitment. Here's one, and then we'll move on. Doctrine. Those are the teachings, the core teachings of the Bible. Far too many Christians are ignorant. I don't mean ignorant like, I mean ignorant. They don't know the basic foundational teachings of the Bible. And by the way, that is your responsibility. Now you hear it and we allude to them here, but you need to be figuring that by reading the Bible and studying on your own. That's why we show you verses. We want you to look at the verses. But we need to know what we believe. The Bereans heard the truth taught them. Something in them probably told them it was true. But you know what they did? They looked at the scriptures. Number one, then they found out that it was true. And number two, it confirmed in their mind and solidified it in their mind so that it was really a part of who they are. What we're trying to do is find others that can help us to justify in our mind sidestepping doctrines and teachings of the Bible. Far too many Christians find someone that'll feed them some false doctrine, and I'm not even talking maybe false in the sense of salvation, but false in other areas, based on a faulty explanation of a verse taken out of context and don't take time to study it for themselves. You know, the Bible fits together. You know that, right? If you read a verse and like, man, what is that verse saying? Oh, I don't know. You might want to read the verses before it. You might want to read the verses after it. You might want to figure out what was the message he was giving and give it in that context. Okay? I heard a guy one time preach on they that preach the gospel should live with the gospel. And he was talking about, if you're going to preach, you got to live it, brother. That's wonderful. That's not what the verse meant. The verse was talking about if you're a preacher, you should be supported. Okay? Now, I could find other verses to support what he was preaching, but he didn't. But doctrine. Don't just go on the internet and see some high-quality graphic or some wonderful video that's sliced up and the guy sounds right. What does the Bible really say? And by the way, if you look at the internet, you can find anything. You can find people that believe that the Holocaust didn't happen. It didn't happen. That's bad English. Didn't happen. Okay? You just all this nonsense. You got to look things up. All right. So if those things, by the way, that helps us to stay straight and faithful. Now, having said that, what should we be faithful to? There are some core things that we ought to just, in our life, we draw a line and say, this is what God wants, I'm in, and I'm going to be in all the time. Are you with me? Here we, and you say, oh, this isn't earth-shattering. I know, but it's the basics. It'll help you, like, to live right and be continuing. First one, church services. Church services. We already saw in the verse earlier that the new believers, now listen, naturally connected and joined the church, those others that were saved. It was just a natural thing to do. They gladly received their words, immediately were baptized, and then like, what's next? By the way, that is really, really, really a good concept for new believers. I got saved, what's next? What do I do now? Might be good for Christians to figure that out. What does God want from me? By the way, God's not trying to pound you into submission. He just wants you to submit. And the things he has for us are wonderful and great, but we got to follow those things naturally. This, by the way, was at a time when Christianity was being persecuted. It would have been better for them to hide. But you know what? They joined together. I won't put the verse in Hebrews. We'll look at it later in another context. But it's like, oh, the Hebrews didn't. I know. It's like it's not true just because we quote it. Okay? God wants us to be together. By the way, and then he mentions in the Hebrews verse, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's like, as things get worse and worse, we need the church more and more. And I hope you feel like that. I love being here. You say, well, you preach. We have to listen to you. I know, that's the only downer for you, but I still like being here. A commitment to Christ is a commitment to fellow Christians, and that commitment is obeyed by membership to a Bible-believing Baptist church, I believe. Now, not all churches. There's churches that aren't Baptist that are Christian. I get it. But I just believe the core doctrines. I'm not a Baptist because that's the first church I want to. I'm a Baptist because of the beliefs. And they fall closer in line with what I feel the Bible teaches. And so you need to be a member of a good church. And I'm preaching to the choir, but I just want us to understand this in our mind. We can help others. Now, but here's the issue, even for good Christians. Let me just be brutally honest. Too many people miss church too easily. I'm sorry, we do. Now, we have a great group. This is a Thursday night. People work. I get it, blah, blah, blah. Sundays have been fantastic. But I'll still be honest with you, and not just here, but everywhere. People just miss church too easily. Let me ask you, let me make it practical to you. If I, as the pastor of this church, were the average church member in America, the average church member, not just attender, but member, when you came to church on Sundays, you would have a 30 to 40% chance of me being here. That'd be it. They'd be like, you get up to come to church and like, flip a coin, is pastor going to be there today? Oh, heads, he may be there. By the way, I would choose tails. What if you come to church on a Sunday or Thursday night and I don't come because I only come on Sundays? Would that be okay? If I was only here, say, I beat the church member average and I was only here half the time, would that be okay? No. I'm not here every single church service because I'm the pastor of the church. I'm here all the time because I'm a Christian, and I decided that 1 month after I started going to church. Okay? And so I'm like, I believe what God wants. I believe it's in the Bible, and it was helping me, and I'm like, that's my commitment. I didn't know about, you know, I read the Bible. I didn't know that was, you know, like, okay, what do you do with that, and how do you pray? My first prayer was like, I got a prayer sheet with like 100 things, and I'm like, Lord, you know everything on that list. Bless it. Amen. I'm like, I'm done. Next. Okay? I was ignorant. Some of you might do that. But it's just, I'm like, I can come to church, and I did that. If I'm not here on rare occasions, I'm either very sick, or I'm on vacation. And by the way, just because there's a 3-day weekend, I don't go running out. That seems like that would just be, you leave on Friday, fight traffic, then you got to leave on Monday, the day you're off, to come back. That just seems like a hassle to me. But I'm just saying, and if you do that on occasion, I'm not getting on you. I'm just saying. And by the way, when I am on vacation, I go to church. Amen. I like going to church. Amen. I try to find a good church in the area. Okay. Have you been to some good churches? I've been to many very good churches. Have you been to some different ones? Oh, yeah. Last year, 2019, the Sunday school was great, but the Sunday morning, they brought the worship team out. Ryan texted us like, oh, this is lit. And it was lit. And then he's like, oh, look at the one guy in the praise team. He's the emo kid. And he was. But I'm like, okay, so it said Fundamental Independent Baptist on the sign outside. That was a mistake. But we got through that. But I'm just saying, I'm going to go to church. Okay? I like being at church even when I'm not in my home church. Remember, by the way, let me just say this. And some of you are watching a live stream. I'm so glad you are. But live stream is not church. Now, if you're sick and you can't make it, I understand, but it's not an option. Right. In other words, if you say, you know, I think I'll just do church at home today. That's not church. You know, the church means a called out. Anybody know what that means? A called out what? Okay. Well, two or three are gathered. That doesn't mean you staying at home when you could be at church. Okay. If you can't be at church, great. But if you can, you need to be here. And by the way, it's good for you, but you know what it is? It's good for other people. I like interacting with other people. The thing that kills me about this whole COVID crackdown stuff is I like being around people. I miss the summer. I miss the summer saturation. I miss the Monday night going out to eat with different groups in the church all summer. I miss the Friday night fellowships at our house every single Friday during the summer. It's a hassle. I get it. But I enjoy it because I enjoy being with people, Christian people. And so that's very important. I hope you understand the spirit I'm giving that. You will never be a faithfully growing, dynamic disciple of Christ if you can't get faithful church attendance down. Now, here are some bad reasons for missing church. You ready? I forgot. My granddaughter says, I forgot. Okay. I forgot. Okay. Well, I can't help you if you did. I'm going to a party or a family get-together. And I know when we first moved back to California after living out of state for 6 years, you know, all the families, hey, we're having a party Sunday morning. Like, where are they going? We have church. But you know what they eventually did? They would schedule it a little later because they know that we're not going to come. Not that I don't like birthday parties. I like birthday cake as much as the next guy. But I have church. I have errands to run. I'm a little tired today. By the way, get in line. Drink coffee. That'll really be a blessing. I'll just watch the live stream. We already talked about that. I love you. Someone's in town and I'm visiting. I don't want to be mean here. Somebody here might know I'm talking about. We had a group of people in for a while ago. One of them was a missionary. They were not one of our guys. And they didn't even come to church because they're at some like tournament. I'm like, you wouldn't be one of our missionaries. You got to be kidding me. Anyhow, that was free. I scheduled something to be done at my house. Schedule it another time. Okay? If you don't trust them, leave the dog in the backyard. Now, I'm not talking about emergencies. I don't want you here if you're sick. I don't want you here if something's going on. Things arise. I get it. But for some people, things arise all the time. And I'm just saying, I'm saying this. I'm saying a lot. Oh, here we go. This is the point I'm making. You ready? And then we'll move on. You have to, and this is not just church attendance. Really, this is good for everything. You have to make the decision in your life that church is a conviction, not a convenience. And that's with every single Bible belief. Because if it's a convenience, I'll do it when I feel like it, or it fits with what I'm thinking right now, then you're not consistent with it, right? But if it's a conviction, it's like, it's in the book, God said it, here's how it plays out in my life, I'm doing it. And that'll help you. I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to be mean. All right, next, personal devotions. We already saw the verse where we are told to continue in the word. That was earlier. Psalm 1, but his now this is good. I'm going to teach a little bit what I think this means. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate when? Okay, day and night. That's pretty serious, right? Are you with me? Okay, good. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 kicks it up a notch. Pray without ceasing. Okay? So don't stop praying and meditate day and night. Now, I understand there's two parts of the day. There's daytime and there's nighttime. And without ceasing means all the time. Don't stop. So does that mean how can I meditate on scripture and pray? Unless I'm a woman. You ladies can do two things at a time wonderfully. Guys, we're like right over our head. But how do you do that? What does that mean? God is not saying we walk around with a Bible and a prayer list 24/7. He's just saying that our devotion to prayer and Bible is so strong, and I believe this is what he means, that it's constantly on the forefront of our mind. You're working through your day and something comes up. I'm pretty sure your boss doesn't want you like at your workstation with your Bible out saying, I'm sorry, that's religious persecution. I'm supposed to be meditating day and night, okay? You should be fired. But I'm saying if something comes your way immediately from script, something you learn from scripture says, this is how I should handle that. Or you hear something and that you read your Bible and there's that thought and just throughout the day you're thinking about it. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Same thing with prayer. Something hits you. The first thing you think about is pray. Not like I got to drop to my knees and do, you know, adoration, confession, thanksgiving. You don't have time for that. If Peter started when he was sinking, like, Lord, you're wonderful. I adore you, blah, blah, blah. Okay? He didn't have time for that. Lord, save me. So you, in your mind, you just like, Lord, help me in this situation to give the right answer to my boss or whatever you're dealing with. And I hope you understand that. It all starts, though, with our daily devotions with God. You will not meditate on your little bullet point there. You will not meditate day and night if you are not reading God's word daily. What do you have to meditate on? You know, you and by the way, one of the things you do if you read something in the Bible that morning and it's a thought that hits you, something that's speaking to you, pray about that. Lord, if that's what you want for my life, that's encouraging, help me with that. But it becomes a point. You have nothing to think about because you didn't read your Bible. Same thing with prayer. If you're not praying during your devotional time, you are not going to pray during the day. One of the reasons Christians are unfaithful in devotion time is that I believe they truly have been deceived and blinded to seeing how important it really is. It's very important. Without it, you're going to have more problems. Without it, you're not going to grow. Very important. Without it, you won't have a biblical worldview. What do I mean? Worldview is how you view the world, the value for which you view the world. The reason we're anti-abortion is because we have a biblical worldview, which is life is precious. Amen. Life is a gift from God. Yes. Life begins at conception. Yes, sir. I love that Bible phrase, right? And she was with child. Yes. I don't know. God thought when they were pregnant, they had a child. God said told Jeremiah, before you were born, I formed you in the womb. God knew him in the womb. Okay. By the way, in my Bible reading, I was going through Luke, and I read Luke 2, and it's not Christmas yet, so I'm still waiting for the Charlie Brown special, and we'll be fine. But when Mary, who was pregnant, went to see Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, she was 6 months pregnant. Does anybody remember what happened when Jesus and Mary showed up? The babe in the womb leapt for joy. You mean they feel emotions? Yes. They feel it when the doctor is killing them. Okay, so don't give me this woman's choice garbage. She has a choice whether or not to get pregnant. Once she's pregnant, choice made. Punish the kid. All right. Where are we at? Because I really got off. Anyhow, just do that. Next, serving others. We're getting late here. We're getting late. Serving others. We are saved to serve. I think we've heard that before, right? We don't work to become saved. Praise God for that, man. I could not. If it depended on us, we would be out on an island, a sinking island, with nothing to help. We just can't make it. But thank God we're saved. We don't do anything. But on the other hand, we work because we're saved. It's just a way of saying God wants us to serve him because it's a wonderful thing to do and we're saved. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, speaking of Christ, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's a good amen right there. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. Many of you qualify for that. Zealous of good works. It's just part of salvation. He wants us to serve him, good works, the whole nine yards. I know now it's very difficult, and I appreciate so many people in our church that are involved in ministries. You miss it, right? You miss your Sunday school class. I hope you nursery workers kind of miss working in the nursery, okay? Miss your adult class. Miss the bus routes. It's going to be a killer in a few weeks when those buses are painted and they're here and they're sitting there. Okay? It's just, I know every week we do my little video in the main auditorium, the new one. I hate going in there. Why? I want to stay. Okay? I don't even sit on the platform seat because I can't get up. It's so comfortable. And I see the chairs in there and I'm like, this is going to work in here. We're going to love it. I'm like, we're not in there yet. It's ridiculous. But it's coming soon. But you feel the same way about serving God, I hope. But the key ingredient in serving others through the ministries of the church is faithfulness. I was a bus captain for years and years, and I love the bus ministry. But I'll be honest with you, some of those kids are brats. Some of those kids push you to the edge, right? When I was in Chicago, I had these two Chinese kids. One of them was Yang. And Yang, like, he's probably in jail. I know he is now. He's probably about 40, and he's probably doing a double life term. And this kid is there, and it's like he would just mess up. And I'd go up to him, hey! And as soon as I'd start talking to him, he knew he didn't want to hear me, and he'd go like this. He'd go, I'm like, hey, Yang! I'm like, just don't stab anybody, okay? And then I had a kid named Bucky. Bucky, he'd try to stab you with a butter knife. And his sister, I think Becky, she's one of those best bus kids in the world, right? Never does anything wrong. Can I help you? Faithful as dirt. And Bucky, you know, he's in jail with Yang. And I'm like, you know, I want his sister to come, but this kid is just over the top. And you know, like we had lunches for the kids and we'd storm on the first seat. He would slide on that dirty floor under there and you'd see a hand come up and he's still in their lunches. But I actually talked to his dad, you know, the hillbilly guy. Hey, what can I do about Steve? I'm like, you know, Bucky's bad. So I got it. Never again. I don't know what he did, but Bucky got saved. I mean, I'm like, you are the bus captain. But we get frustrated so easily, don't we? But you know what? It's still good. It's like even the frustration. It's like, man, it's serving people. Don't look at the ones that struggle. Look at the other ones. Next little bullet. If you are a part of a ministry or one day we'll join when we get them started again, when you join it, you're committing to be faithful, and I hope that you will do that. Next. We're going to probably stop in a minute. Financial giving. There's so many verses, but 1 Corinthians 16:12-2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. By the way, Seventh-day Adventists are wrong. We meet on Sunday. And the Sabbath was not for the church. It was not for Christians. And by the way, it wasn't really for worship. It was for rest. But they gave. A disciple is one who's completely committed to every command in Christ, every truth in the Bible, right? But it's amazing how easily we can talk ourselves into tithing, except when something else comes up. And by the way, am I trying to take your money? No, you guys give, and I appreciate that. But churches could do a lot more if all their people tithe like they should be. But tithing is not just good for the church, and it is. That's God's way to pay the bills and propagate the gospel. But tithing's good for you. Okay, tithing's good for you. I've tithed along all stretches. And that's just one of those things. I guess I heard it on Christian television before I was even saved. But when I got right with God, I'm like, well, Christians give, so I give. And I just did it. And by the way, I don't regret it at all. God is blessed. We've given when we haven't had money. And it's like you either pay that last bill, buy food, or you tithe. And I tithe. And by the way, God always took care of us. We must understand the meaning of the word. Tithe does not mean giving. Do we understand that? What does the word tithe mean? 10%. Okay? And so that's what God wants. Anything under that is not tithing. Really, it's tipping. I know. Someone says, don't tip God, tithe. No, tip God. Tip is 15%, okay? So God will take that tip. But we want to give. Anything inconsistent is not tithing. If we are faithful in our other commitments, look, God's blessings come in response to his promises. It's not a participation trophy. And there's a very specific promise given in Malachi to tithing. Prove me now therewith, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. God said, and he knew it's hard for us. And so he said, I want you to put me to the test on this one, because you'll give and you'll be blessed. That's why whenever we do the tithing commitment for stewardship month, we say, if you don't understand this, take the 60-day challenge. Take a 90-day challenge. Tithe for that amount of time and see if God does not bless you and take care of you. I've never had anybody, there's a church in San Diego, a guy used to say, you come back after 90 days, and if you've never tithed before, you just started, and our church has records, and you come back to me and say, I was ripped off, I wasn't blessed, he says, I'll give you your money back. So if you do that, and you don't feel like God has blessed you, I'll give you the address to the church in San Diego, you can go get your money back. In Malachi, we know that tithing comes with a promise, as I mentioned, that we can prove God's promise and he will pour out his blessings, but it's only as we obey that he does. And it's just like anything else. And I'm done. I'll stop. We'll finish later. You know, the wonderful thing about obeying God in every area, I'm not just talking about giving, is this. It's wonderful when you obey God in any area and you see him respond to that, or you see the fruit of that in your life. I'm just telling you. You sit in your Bible and you start reading. It's amazing how, now not every day, not every day are there fireworks, but it's amazing how sometimes you'll sit there and read a verse and it's like, that was just the verse I needed for that day. Or you'll read that verse and you'll think of that thought, and during your day something will come up. It's like, that's the thought I needed. You'll pray about something and it'll come through. God will answer and you'll say, wow, God did that. You go soul winning, and the other things we'll mention. It's like someone got saved. Amen. You give your money, and it's like God took care of me. In fact, God blessed me. It's amazing. But those blessings and joys that are associated with that obedience can never be dispensed unless we are first obedient. Okay, I got to stop. It's 20 o'clock. Okay, let's stand for a minute and then we'll pray. It's later than I thought. I don't like that military time. Thank you for being here. Looking forward to this Sunday. Let's be faithful. And I do appreciate your faithfulness being out today. Do pray for the building. The fire inspector could be a little challenging there, but actually it's not bad so far. It's just taking some time. But this, they're being thorough, I'm sure, because this is really like the last one. And then we finish this other thing and we get the final inspection and we get the occupancy. And we need that so that if something happens, we're ready to go. Yeah. Okay, and I am excited about that. I hope you are too. I hope you're praying about it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for loving us. Thank you for these folks that are here, Lord. Really, probably tonight I was preaching to the choir. These people, they're faithful, they're in. And maybe some of us on a live stream or whatever, we're growing still in our faith. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm just trying to keep it lively. But help us to understand that, Lord, we can do nothing greater than starting with the basics and just committing ourselves to being faithful so you can work in our lives. Bless us now. Keep us safe till we meet together again on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.